Listen to Chavod Achsanya. Thank Rabbi Benowitz for the warm words. Rabbi Froelich, Rabbi Cohen. Dear Chevra, when I think that this is the staff, I can just sort of picture what the Beis Medrash must look like when all the Talmidim and the Reveim are also around. Wow. Baruch Shechianu, Baruch, that you were able to arrive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have to work overtime. He just does his thing. But to see the results of the Hashgacha Pratis is very, very, very special. I'll just begin with a story that will pretty much segue into what Rabbeinu had spoke about. They say that the Saba of Kelm was told about the Ahavas Torah of Rosh Yeshiva. How was that Ahavas Torah displayed? It was displayed that Rosh Yeshiva came into his yeshiva. Maybe it was a Motzei Shabbos, maybe it was midnight, and he saw that the Beis Medrash was full. And it just impressed him so much. It just had such ashpa on him that he began to dance. He just began to dance in the Beis Medrash. The Saba heard, and he said that if that Rosh Yeshiva really, really had Ahavas Torah, he could have walked into any yeshiva in the world after midnight, seen fellows learning, and he would have danced. The dancing should stem from the fact that fellows are learning, not the fact that it's my yeshiva. And that's what I would like to speak to you about, both in terms of a broader sense of Musar, and also in terms of, I won't say your work, I'll say our work in the NCSY Kollel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us. When you love someone and when you care about him, there are times that sometimes you have to give him wake-up calls. Sometimes you have to shake him. You have to sort of get him out of his complacency to be able to see where he's holding. And in this last period of time, we've had a series of wake-up calls, one after another. First the corona, or you call it COVID, same thing. And then here in Eretz Yisrael, which I'm sure impacted on you as well, we had the tragedy in Meron, Lag BaOmer. 2 weeks after Lag BaOmer, there was another tragedy in Yerushalayim, in the New Beis Medrash of Karlin Stolen. Then, simultaneously, we were in a war, 4,500 missiles being fired at us, people being traumatized. And then, as you're very, very much well aware, the tragedy in Miami. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is shaking us. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to wake us up. He's telling us, Hitoreru, wake up. What more do I have to do to get your attention? There's a very, very strange Rashi in this week's parasha. We have a census. Su es rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael mi'ben esrim shana v'malo l'veis avosam kol yotzei tzava b'Yisrael. Sort of a deja vu census. We had the census in Parshas Bamidbar, and now we have another census in Parshas Pinchas. Almost the same words in the Torah. Mi'ben esrim shana v'malo kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe b'nei Yisrael, hayotzim eretz Yisrael. If you look back in Parshas Bamidbar, you're reading the psukim, you can put one on top of the other. Except that here, in the middle, there's an extra pasuk. It says, Vayedaber Moshe ve'elazar ha-kohen osam va'arvos mo'av ha-yarden yerechol emor. Between the fact that it says, Su es rosh kol adas b'nei Yisrael, and it says, Miben esrim shana v'mala, smack in the middle, there's a pasuk, Vayedaber Moshe ve'elazar ha-kohen osam va'arvos mo'av ha-yarden yerechol emor. So Rashi says, Vayedaber Moshe ve'elazar ha-kohen osam, Dabru imam al zo shetziva hamakom lemanotam. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Elazar, I want you to announce to Klal Yisrael that there's about to be a census. Lemor, Rashi says, imru lachem srichim atem limanot. Tell them, you have to get ready to be counted. That's very, very strange. That pasuk is missing in Bamidbar. I mean, you know, there is a mitzvah to get counted. Why do Bnei Israel have to be told, Imru lahem tzrichim atem limanot? You have to get counted. The only way I can understand this pasuk is in the light of the Netziv. Everyone knows that there's a Netziv has beautiful, beautiful hakdamos to every sefer of the Torah. And he has a hakadama to Sefer Bamidbar, in which he points out that those who learned Daf Yomi, not that many dapim ago, we saw that Bamidbar is called in Maseches Yuma Chumash HaPekudim, like we call it in English, numbers. Right? It's not called Bamidbar in the desert. It's called Chumash Pekudim. Uhadin, it's called Chumash Pekudim, not only in Maseches Yuma, but also in Maseches Sota. And the Netziv asks, L'chora, Sefer Bamidbar is chock full of all sorts of very, very powerful incidents. We have the death of Miriam and of Aharon. We have the Meraglim. We have Korach. There's a lot going on. So to call it Bamidbar, that somehow would give it the overview. That's very nice, but it's not called Bamidbar in Chazal. It's not even called Bamidbar in the Rishonim. Rashi calls it Sefer Vayedaber, just like Vayikra is Sefer Vayikra, because that's the first word. So over here, the first word is Vayedaber, so this is called Sefer Vayedaber. But Chazal called it Sefer HaPekudim, the book of the counts, because there are two counts, one in Bamidbar and one in Pinchas. That's a reason to call it Sefer Pekudim, because there happened Sefer HaPekudim, because there happened to be two counts. So the Netziv explains, no, these counts symbolize a transition that we have within Sefer Bamidbar. We have a transition of the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim to Dor Nichnasei Haaretz. Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim lived al pi Nes Nigla, lived according to the concept of the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, Vayirel Moshe, Ani Hashem. But this generation lived with the name of Nes Nigla. Moving into Eretz Yisrael, we're going back to a certain degree to the Tkufa of the Avos. We're going back to the Tkufa of Nes Nistar. And that's symbolized by the Pekudim. The first census, the order of the tribes, were the order of the Degolim. That was a special order of Ruchnius, of Me'ala Teva, in which Ephraim precedes Menashe. Ephraim was the head of his machane. Masha Enkein, the second Pekudim, the second count, there, it's Alpi Derech HaTeva, that's Nes Nistar, that's a concept in which, a census in which Menashe precedes Ephraim. So I think that one of the other differences between the world of Nes Nigla and the world of Nes Nistar is that the world of Nes Nigla is Hashem Yilachem Lachem V'atem Tacharishun. Kadosh Baruch Hu will bring down Tzfardei Akinim V'atem Tacharishun. Kadosh Baruch Hu will fight for you. Everything is going to go on. Me'al Teva, and you'll just look, you'll watch, and you'll thank Kadosh Baruch Hu. The world of Nes Nistar is a world in which we live now. Everything that's going on currently is Nes Nistar. Nes Nistar means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world b'derech HaTeva, that we can explain everything in terms of coincidence, we can explain everything in terms of the laws of nature, but it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking to us. But in this world of Nes Nistar, we have to take the initiative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to wake up. He says, Imru lahem tzrichim atem limanot. This is not a census where you're going to be sitting in your tents and Moshe and Aaron are going to be walking by and a bus call is going to come out of the tent. How many people are in each tent? No. This is a census where you're going to have to stand online, where you're going to have to be polled, where you're going to have to participate, where you're going to have to wake up. You're going to have to do something. It's not a passive watching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a tkufa in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to fight. And he wants you to till the land. And he wants you to build the Beis HaMikdash. He wants you to be involved. And therefore, you have to know, Tzrichim Atem Limanos, you have to get up. You have to push yourself. This has to be an active count, not a passive count. And that's the world in which we're living currently. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us everything within the world of Nes Nistar. Everything. What's our problem? We look at a tragedy and we think, how did this come about? Where did the virus come from? Did it come from a bat? Did it come from a lab? My nafkamina, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about the manner in which he's talking to us. The question shouldn't be how this came about. Our question should be, where do we move from here? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? Rather than speaking about who's responsible in Meiron, that's an inyan that the courts will deal with. But that's not the issue. The issue is, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? Instead of asking, what caused the building in Miami to fall down? Was it the salt water, the sea, the sand? That's not the point. The point is, where's the message that we're supposed to be getting from the fact that there were people who were sleeping and couldn't get up because the building collapsed on them? That's what we're supposed to be involved in. Tzrichim Atem Limanos, you have to wake up. We have to wake up. We have to think what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from each and every one of us. And of course the answer is, he wants something different from each and every one of us, because each and every one of us is different. Each and every one of us is unique. This one has a problem with the Midah of Zrizus, and this one has a problem with Taivas, and this one has a problem with Gaiva, and this one has a problem with Kas. And then there's someone like me who has a problem with all of them. In other words, that every one of us has our package. And every one of us is the only one who knows what our package is. I remember many, many years ago, they said that there was a group of people who were gathered around the table, and each of them received a message on his phone: get out of town, everything is known. And they all got out of town. That, in other words, namely that everyone has something that he doesn't want other people to know, doesn't want other people to be aware of. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was shaking us up. He's talking to us. He's talking to each and every one of us. But the question is there something that perhaps would be in common for all of us? That these messages, we live now in a global village. That which happens in Meiron impacts upon you in the five towns. And that which happens in Miami impacts upon me in Yerushalayim. That which happens in Ashkelon and Be'er Sheva impacts on a Jew who's in Japan. My nafkamina, where we are. We know everything instantaneous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing these wake-up calls not to Jew X or to Jew Y. He's bringing them to all of us. And I'm sure this is something that we all think about very, very seriously. So I'd like to suggest something that probably there's much more that's involved in what I'm going to say, but certainly what I'm going to say, my humble opinion, is emes. Certainly emes. It's okay that there's much, much more, but certainly emes, because it's in the Torah, and that which is in the Torah is emes. We had a parsha this morning with a lot of aspects to it. We went from Pinchas to a count, to a suas Rosh B'nai Yisrael, to the world of Nachala of Eretz Yisrael, to the world of Yoshua being chosen as a manhig, to the world of Korbanos Tzibur. What pulls it all together? Pashtus, what pulls it all together is that Parshas Pinchas is a tikkun of Parshas Balak. Parshas Balak, we have Bilam being purchased by Balak to curse Klal Yisrael, to destroy us spiritually. Bilam is not a fool, and Balak is not a fool. They all know that Klal Yisrael cannot be cursed. Lo ta'ora ta'am ki baruch. We're baruch by definition. By definition, we're a blessed people. Klal Yisrael, amech kulam tzadikim. Kol Yisrael, yesh lem chelok yalam haba. Klal Yisrael is an entity that has its shoresh on the kisei hakavod. There's no way of cursing Klal Yisrael. We speak about the fact that kud shebrichu shchintei biyichud hashrim together with Kol Yisrael biyichud hashrim. With Kol Yisrael, that we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu intrinsically as a whole. So what was the strategy of Balak and Bilam? Not to look at the Kol, but to try and look at a part of Kol Yisrael. Divide and conquer. V'ra'isa et katzehu. Efes ki katzehu tir'eh. Don't try and... It's going to be... If you try everything, tafasta meruba lo tafasta. But if you can hone in on a part of Klal Yisrael, then that part of Klal Yisrael, unfortunately, lends itself to a klala. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and he arranged that every time that Balak and Bilam tried to look at part of Klal Yisrael, they saw all of Klal Yisrael. Didn't work. They kept seeing all of Klal Yisrael. And even when Vayosem el Midbar Pineim, even when they looked out towards the Midbar to try and link into Chayta Egel, Matovo Lecha Yaakov, they saw the Batei Medrash, they saw the Batei Knesset, they saw that which brings us together. So Bilam failed, but in his failure, he advised Balak, I'll give you an Eitzah of how to get to the same result that you want to, but in a different manner. Instead of trying from above, try from below. Bring out Benos Midyan. Bring out Znut. Bring in Avodah Zarah. There's nothing like Znut or Avodah Zarah to divide Klal Yisrael. Everyone has his own Avodah Zarah. Eile Elohecha Yisrael. One egel, but it meant something different to each and every Jew. Znut, everyone has his own desires. Everyone has his own crazy desires. Every one of us is different in terms of that which is attractive, that which impacts on the imagination of each and every one of us. And then you have free reign. The moment you get Klal Yisrael into Znut and Avodah Zarah, they're divided into individuals. Vayetzei Ish. Nope, not in other words, he's dealing with a person, the Zimri, with one individual, this individual, that individual, then you have a Magefa. Then you're going to win. Then Klal Yisrael are going to be decimated. Pinchas, he was Vayetze Ish Mitocha Ego. Pinchas came representing Klal Yisrael. Pinchas came not as an individual, he came to represent Klal Yisrael, and he was able to stop the Magefa. But a lot of damage was done. 24,000 died. And according to the Ari, those 24,000 came back into the world in the Gilgul of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Those 12,000 Chavrusas, the 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, they were the 24,000, according to the Ari and the Shara Gilgulim, they were those that died in the first Magefa. You had one Magefa, and then you had years later a second Magefa. What's the connection? What's the connection between one and the other? Barur, what the connection is. The same impact that Avodah Zarah and Gili Arayas have on a Jew, Shelo Kibdu Ze Et Ze, is the same thing. That everyone viewed himself as being on the top of the heap. Everyone is Yurtle the Turtle. Everyone is on the top. He doesn't care about anyone else. That's the same, you have the same means, just a different, and it's going to bring about the same Magefa. It's a variation on a theme, whether it's Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, or whether it's Lack of Kavod. That's the Gemara in Yuma. First Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by the breaking up of Klal Yisrael, Avodah Zarah, and Gili Arayos. And the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed by Sinas Chinam. That's Bavur Shalom Kibdu Zeh. It's the same Churban that comes about, the same Magefa that comes about. Parshas Pinchas was meant to rebuild Klal Yisrael. You rebuild Klal Yisrael with putting Pinchas on a pedestal. This is someone who cares. This is someone who doesn't care about himself. He was willing to sacrifice his own kavod for Klal Yisrael. You unify Klal Yisrael with Suas Rosh B'nai Yisrael. Point out that we have We have what to stand up for. We bring together Klal Yisrael with Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is a nachala of the Klal, of Klal Yisrael. We bring together Klal Yisrael with a manhik, Ish al Ha'ida, with an individual who is going to be a leader, Sheyetsu, V'yavo, Alpiv. That's bringing together Klal Yisrael. We bring it together Klal Yisrael with Karbonos Tzib, where the entire Parsha is one of bringing everything and everyone together, trying to rebuild the Am, that which was destroyed almost, that which Bilam and Balak, the Eitzah of dividing us into individuals, to try and counter that, to try and counter that by pulling us all together. And here we come to the NCSY Kollel. Here we come to you. Here we come to the next few weeks of your lives. That keep this in mind. Keep in mind that story of the Saba Mikelm. It's not about us. It's not about our yeshiva. It's not even about our learning. It's about sharing Torah with Klal Yisrael. That everyone who's in the Beis Medrash should be learning. It's irrelevant if this fellow was, you were told, watch over these 10 and that's the 11th. Now, my nafkamina, he is a fellow in the Beis Medrash. You have a few more minutes to say, I'll grab that time to learn on my own, but there's another fellow sitting who can't learn on his own. So that's what I'm in this world to do. That's why I'm here. I'm here to try and bring everyone into this Masoros. L'chora, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, choose a manhig, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yehoshua is the manhig. Ish asher ruach bo. Right? That he's the individual who can speak to everyone. What was his uniqueness? Gadol shimusho yoser milimudo. He was Meshamesh Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what the Medrash tells us. And how was he Meshamesh Moshe Rabbeinu? He was Mesader hasafsalim. In order to sit and learn, you don't need safsalim. You need a chair. You need a kisei. Mesader hasafsalim means that you care about everyone. That everyone should have a place to learn. That everyone should be able to receive the Torah. That you care that you're not going to sit down until every Jew has a place where he is supposed to be sitting. That's the concept of the Klal. I'll learn less that way? No, you won't learn any less that way. That was Noach's Geshbo. Noach was a tzaddik in Peltz. Noach said, I have to save myself. I don't have time for others. Avraham Avinu, he had time for everyone. Who learned more? Avraham Avinu learned more than Noach. There's a small sefer of the Chidushim, Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Chumash, and he points out, you want to learn? Spread your learning. Teach as much as you can. Bring as many people in. And don't think you're going to know any less. You're going to know only more by giving. Only more by sharing. Only more by being a part of everyone. That's why Yeshua was chosen, because he wanted Klal Yisrael. Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, and then Yeshua passed it on to everyone. The whole Masoros that we have, the Masoros of Klal Yisrael, is via Yeshua. Right? That he cared that everyone, just like Moshe Rabbeinu cared about everyone, Yeshua cared about everyone. That's why he was the Baal HaMasoros. Afterwards, it was hard to find one individual. You had to find Zekanim, you had to find Nevi'im, you had to find Anshe Tzedakah. To find one individual who viewed that he's the conduit to Klal Yisrael, we only have Moshe and Yeshua. We don't have anyone else who views himself, Bedafka, as that one individual. But there's another aspect as well. And this I heard, I don't remember where I saw it, but it's not mine. But I think it's very, very true. What does it mean to be Mesader the Safsalim? What does it mean to set up the Safsalim? It means that every one of us needs a unique place in order to learn. Namely, that there's one fellow who's only going to learn if he's sitting right in front of the Rebbe. If the Rebbe sees him all the time, well, then he'll learn. If he's sitting in the middle or the back, he's not going to learn. So Yeshua put his seat up front. And there's another fellow who only learns when he can walk back and forth in the Beis Medrash. So his seat has to be by the door. And then there's another fellow who can only learn if he's in a seat that has a straight back. And there's someone else who can only learn if he's in a lounge chair. Most of us like that, right? You know, it's cute when you walk into a Beis Medrash and you see people with their feet up, etc. And that's what happens sometimes in Florida. It happens also elsewhere as well. But, you know, there are cultures. So everyone has to know what his culture of learning is, how he's going to learn. That Yehoshua was watching everyone. He was watching everyone. What's going to work for this fellow? What kind? Maybe this fellow needs a little cup of coffee, so he has to have in his chair like a handle that has a place for a cup of coffee. Right? That's what he's going to learn with that cup of coffee. Without it, he's not going to learn. This fellow's a lefty, so he needs a chair that has it's coming from the left side. This one needs from the right side. That's what he means to Mesaras HaSalim, to care about every individual, to think about what makes everyone tick. So those are two lessons that we learn from Yehoshua, to care about everyone and to be sensitive to each and every one. But there's one other aspect that I'd like to mention to you that I'm pretty sure I spoke some of you were Madrikim previously. You probably heard this from me because I like it a lot. It's a word that I heard from Rav Nissen Kaplan Shlich Shlita, and I heard it many, many years ago. Must have been about 30 years ago. But there's some ideas that sort of just stick with you, and this is one that stuck with me. We have the story of Rabbi Akiva and Bas Kalba Savua mentioned both in Maseches Ksuvos and in Maseches Nedarim. But it comes in different variations. There are different things that are stressed in the different stories. In Maseches Nedarim, there we find the phrase of Bas Kalba Savua, the phrase of Rachel to her husband Akiva, Zil Have Beirav. Go and learn. At some point, she told him, now I want you. We've been married. We've been thrown out of my parents' home. We're mudar from all of his wealth. At some point, she told him, now go and learn. What happened that between the time that they got married and the time that she told him, Zil Have Beirav? So the Gemara says that there were two stories. The first story was that Akiva and Rachel were in a hayloft. They had nowhere else to live. And when she woke up in the morning, she had hay in her hair. And as he was taking the hay out of her hair, he told her, someday I'm going to buy you Yerushalayim Shel Zahav. In other words, someday I'm going to give this back to you. You sacrificed everything for me. I'm going to find a way of getting you the most beautiful ornament possible. Instead of taking hay out of your hair, I'm going to give you Yerushalayim Shel Zahav to put on your head. That's very powerful. What was Akiva basically showing Rachel? He was showing her that he had shifot. He had ambition. He wanted to grow. He wanted to get somewhere. That's a very, very powerful ingredient in terms of going to a Beis Medrash. A person has to have shifot. He wants to be able to grow. He wants to feel that he can grow and he will grow. But shifot in and of themselves can bring about a tragedy. Korach had shifot. Korach wanted to be a kohen. That's a she'ifa. So why then was Korach swallowed up by the earth? A she'ifa is something which is very powerful, because a she'ifa has to be combined with another midah in order for it to be a positive source of growth. And that's the second story. The second story is that they were together in the hayloft, and there was a knock on the door. And Eliyahu Hanavi knocked on the door, and he says, does anyone here have some extra hay? My wife just gave birth, and we don't have a cradle, we don't have anywhere to put the baby. I need some hay to be able to create a soft spot to be able to put down the baby. And Akiva turned to Rachel and said, we have hay. So he gave the hay to Eliyahu, and he told Rachel, look how wonderful Kadosh Baruch Hu is to us, that we have more than this other individual. This individual has nothing. And look what we have. We're able to help someone with what we have. That's when Rachel told him, Zil Have Beirav. Go to learn. Why? Because in addition to having she'ifos, Rabbi Akiva was sameach b'chelko. Rabbi Akiva was happy with what he had. Korach, it was all or nothing. He had she'ifos, but if he's going to be a Levi, it's not worth living. Right? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu tells him. Ma'at mikem? It's nothing to be a Levi? No, Korach said, Kohen, you know, it's all or nothing. I want kahuna. I want kahuna. That such a she'ifa is a negative she'ifa. But if a person says, I'm happy with what I have, I'm happy with what I know. I know how to learn Chumash, and I'm happy I know how to learn Chumash. I never opened the Mishnah. I know how to learn Mishnah. I never learned Gemara. I'll be happy if I could learn Gemara, but I'm happy that I know how to learn Mishnah. That combination of the She'ifa and the Sameach Bechelko, Zil Have Beirav. That's what we have to see inculcate into the Talmidim. They have to wake up. We have to wake ourselves up as well. Do we have that Midah? Do we have the Midah of She'ifa? Do we have a Midah that we want to grow and we can continue to grow? And all these Svarim, Imir Tzashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu, will dive into him to give us life and to give us Atachon Ein Olam Das, and we'll take it Masechta by Masechta, by Daf, Sugya by Sugya, and we'll try as much as possible to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. We'll try. We'll push ourselves. A person has to have shifas, but a person also has to be sameach b'chelko. Every day, have a modim anachnu lach. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for what I learned today. Today, I understood a Rashi in Chumash. I didn't understand. Today, I understood a line in Gemara. Today, I didn't understand the Gemara, but I understood it better than my lack of understanding of yesterday. And I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. That's what's necessary. That's where we have to work on ourselves. And working on ourselves means working on our Beis Medrash. That everyone should be in that same position of having she'ifos and being sameach b'chelko, of wanting to, Emir Tzashem, to have a Yerushalayim shel Zahav, be it of Ruchnius, be it of Gashmius, be it of whatever it is that will connect us better to Bein Adam HaChaveru and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and being sameach b'chelko in terms of every day, Shasam Chalkenu ben Yoshev ben Yoshev Beis HaMedrash v'lo ben Yoshev Kronos. Anu Amelim v'heim Amelim. Anu Amelim v'mekablim Sachar. To feel that sense of worth in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's eyes, that we're part of Klal Yisrael, we're part of an Am Segula, and we have an opportunity to expand ourselves and to expand our Am Segula. That's what the NCSY Kollel is about. To dance when we see people who are learning my nafgamina, if they're my talmidim or they're his talmidim, my nafgamina, if it's my yeshiva or it's his yeshiva, they're a Kadosh Baruch Hu's talmidim and they're learning, and that's what's important, to be able to feel that sense of klal and to be able to be sensitive to each and every individual that we're in contact with. That's a common denominator that we have to work on. In addition to that, Emir Tzashem, Halavai, that we'll be able, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can stop giving us wake-up calls and can simply say, Mika Amcha Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able then, we'll be able to dance with HaKadosh Baruch Hu within the Beis HaMikdash B'mehera V'yameinu. But in the meantime, we have our work cut out for us. I just want to give you a Birkas Hedyot, that you should continue to, the fact that you're here, the fact that you wanted to be on the staff of the NCSY Kollel, rather than there are a million other ones, things you could have done this summer, including simply learning for yourselves. You could have said, this summer I only want to be by myself. This summer I'm going to do Maseches Nazir. This summer I'm going to, the first time in my life, learn Seder Taros. There's a lot for each of us and every one of us to do. But the fact that you chose to be part of a growth of a klal is so, so beautiful. It's so, so special. And the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nisim v'Niflos brought you here, so you see, you're on the right track. It's very, very important. It's very chashuv that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going out of his way to show you what he cares about and what's important to him. And so, Emir Tzashem, we should continue to grow. We should continue to help others to grow. We should continue to feel part of a klal. And we should continue to feel that the geula is in our hands. That's the world of Nes Nistar. It's totally in our Hesaurus. Everything is totally in our Hesaurus. This Arusa de la Sasa, Emir Tzashem, will bring about the tremendous Arusa de la Eila that we daven for every moment. Zipisa le Yeshua, that we want that geula, that we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pull us all together, even from Beis Meir, farther east, closer to the makom in which Shemayim and Aretz connect, So you'll connect Shemayim V'aretz here, and in Yirtzeh Hashem, we should daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu that he'll connect Shemayim V'aretz for all of us. Shabrach v'hatzlacha.